You're listening to the Courageous Life Podcast, helping you develop courage and resilience in a perilous and unpredictable world. This is your host, Sean Mitzel. I'm coming to you from the mountains of northern Idaho. I'm glad you're with us. Today, we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship. This is a really important topic, and I think it's definitely something to be explored, and I hope that you will enjoy what we have today. I am here with the lovely, the talented, the intelligent, the beautiful, my wife, Monica. How's it going?
Good.
Excellent. Well, as we get started here, I brought in Monica because she's got some experience in this area with entrepreneurship. We both do, and I'll just tell you that we've really had usually something going on at all times, whether it's just a little thing on the side, but it's always all these ideas churning in the house here. So we're going to talk about that today. So Monica, do you have a business degree?
No.
Surely you have a certificate of some kind.
No, no certificate.
Well then, what on earth makes you qualified to talk about entrepreneurship?
Well, probably just because I've had a lot of ideas over my life. And back when we were first married, almost 23 years ago, I noticed in the barracks that there were some guys that were going and paying and getting their name tapes done. And
okay. And
I thought, you know what? I can do that. I can make a few extra dollars and do that. So I would tell you, like, hey, tell the guys I can sew on the name tapes. And
that's right.
You'd bring home.
I remember that.
Yeah, you'd bring home the uniforms. And I do it. And I did it for a dollar cheaper per name tape. And they didn't have to drive anywhere to get it done. So that was a really great way for us to make some extra income.
That's right. I do remember that. I remember taking Cammies back and forth to work all the time. Yeah, you did quite a few of those.
Yeah.
Can you think of any other examples?
Yeah. Shortly after I actually had decided that I wanted to go to work, we had some issues with our daycare provider. And I decided, you know what? I can do a home preschool. Why can't I do that? And I can stay home with my son and make extra income. And we actually did make a lot of extra money doing preschool for a couple of years, and to the point that I was able to interview parents and and be particular about the kids that I took.
Right.
And
I think what you've hit on is something of an entrepreneurial mindset. So it's this idea that you are continually looking for opportunities, and it's almost like you will see a problem and then provide the solution. Does
exactly.
that make sense?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, as parents, we can see things that need to be done. We know that people need childcare. We know that people don't necessarily have time to run errands. So even finding opportunities to say, hey, I'll do grocery shopping for you or whatever, even if we haven't implemented necessarily everything we thought of. What was the other? Oh, yeah, I always thought about bringing lunch to
okay.
the guys in the barracks, too.
Now, right, yeah.
Something I never did, but they... You know, it would have been really good for them to have some homemade lunches and make them affordable. I think it would have been a good business. It's just something that...
Sure. Well, that's a great idea for someone to implement out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty of people out there who still need lunches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, you brought up another good point that kind of struck me. And that's this idea of you have a lot, you generate lots of ideas, but then you have to kind of transition into a business concept. So you can kind of go from the idea to the business concept. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. I did that with a business that I saw something I wanted to do and sat down and actually mapped it out and got it started. And it ended up being a quite successful business
okay.
that I was able to run for a couple of years and then turn around and sell. So,
okay.
you know... you can have lots of ideas, but if you don't work your way through and actually make it happen, it just sits as an idea.
I remember it well because I did the payroll and the taxes and all that, and that was very much a learning experience in itself.
Yeah.
I think that whole process, that experience of about 2 years?
Yep.
Was invaluable towards entrepreneurship. That's great. And so... That was a little bit more formal, wasn't it, than some of the other ideas?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean,
business plan.
Yes.
And
yeah, well, even, getting our logo and our
trademarks
yeah. done, all of that definitely was much more formal than anything else we had ever done. and also employees and all of the extra things that then you had to learn how to do payroll taxes and all of those types of things.
How about business entity? Business entity, you know, so was it a sole proprietorship, LLC, S-Corp?
It was an LLC. And so we, you know, even just applying for an LLC and doing all of that, it taught us a lot.
Yes.
It was like going through the school.
Exactly. So in entrepreneurship, it's important to understand, you know, what type of entity you want to set up, what's going to work best for your business concept in order to limit liability.
Yeah.
So that's important because, you know, in that business, which was very busy and successful, like you said, you know, it's not all, you know, fun and games, is it?
No, not at all. Matter of fact, it's a lot of work and you have to be ready. As an entrepreneur, it's not like going to a 9-to-5 job. You know, it may be a longer day. Now, hopefully you're doing something you enjoy.
Yes.
And it's not a burden to you, but it is not a typical job where, oh, I can let go of all the responsibilities and come home and just, you know, live my life in family. Entrepreneurship is kind of a 24-hour a day commitment, especially until you get things really running and running smoothly on their own.
Yeah. So how would you recommend that anyone listening to this podcast, how do they come up with this idea? How do they pursue perhaps entrepreneurship? Are they looking at just stuff that interests them or what?
Well, I would definitely do that. Things that you're not only interested in, but things you're good at.
Okay.
And then also look around and see where needs are. Be on the lookout all the time.
Yes.
Doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter who you're interacting with. Listen to people. And as you listen to them, they'll start telling you things that they're struggling with in their life. And honestly, they're probably not alone.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, you're paying attention to things that you see around you, ideas will start sparking. And then having a partner or somebody that you can talk about ideas to helps expand those things as well.
Absolutely. What would you say to the individual that has an idea, they've come up with a business concept, you know, should they wait till all the pieces are in place before they start?
No. No. If you do that, it's kind of like having children. You say, oh, I'll wait till I have enough money. Then we'll have kids. You'll never have them.
That's right.
You'll never get married if you wait until things are perfect. There's never a perfect environment. You just step out, you start, and you learn along the way. And there's going to be a lot of falls, a lot of failures. Just keep picking yourself up and moving along.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've really picked up on this kind of entrepreneurial path is that if you just step out and start, a lot of times it'll lead to other things that pop up
that
maybe you didn't even think about.
Yes, exactly. It opens up other avenues, other doors, and other things. You go, wow, that we have an opportunity. Let's actually jump on this. And things morph and change over time.
Right.
Be flexible.
Yes.
You know, and still continue to keep your eyes open.
Absolutely. How about our time in Okinawa as we were trying to raise money for adoption? We came up with some unique and interesting ideas. Some of them were able to be implemented. Some of them weren't, in order to raise extra money, basically starting some side businesses.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we ended up doing dog sitting, which was actually very successful.
Yes.
I was surprised. As a matter of fact, when the first day we decided, let's do this, just happened to be that a friend said, hey, I need someone to watch my dogs. Would you guys be willing to do that? And we were like, wow, we just started that business last night in our own minds. So we went ahead and committed.
Yeah. And so what would you say was the problem that we provided the solution for?
Well, the problem was that a lot of people in Okinawa had pets.
Okay.
And they would go home for extended periods of time because it's a huge investment to go back to the United States.
Yes.
So their options for pet care were very limited, and many of them didn't want to put them in the kennel.
Right.
Because they're stuck now in a small cage for a month. And so we're providing a loving home with children to interact, walks and play and all of that, you know, and care for the dog without them having to worry about them.
Yeah. And so, and that's really was a big part of our marketing as well, wasn't it? That they were going to be in a home.
Yeah.
With a family.
Yeah, exactly. And they weren't going to be locked up and they weren't going to be treated, you know, like just a, I don't know, commodity.
Yeah.
But instead treated like an important part of family.
Absolutely. So we actually earned quite a bit of extra money that really helped towards adoption.
Yeah.
How about some of the ideas that we didn't implement? You know, we had the idea that we were going to do this kind of this date night.
oh, type yeah.
of thing where we bring kids over and do some certain things. That just never panned out.
Did it? It didn't. You know, we actually did market that a little bit. It wasn't like we aggressively pursued it. But we saw, especially in Okinawa, for some reason, that a lot of people didn't have a need for babysitting or childcare on a consistent basis. It wasn't something they were interested in, yet they really had a need for pet care.
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, the point there is that you try things, and if it doesn't work, then you let them go and you concentrate on the ones that are working.
Exactly. And maybe try and expand your ideas. I mean, that's something that even we're trying to do here.
Okay, well, that's a great segue into our next section here, and is what are we doing here? You know, I think a lot. That's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
We're trying to do a lot. So are we taking on too much?
You know,
maybe.
I hope not. I don't think so. I think that we've, after discussion and after seeing all the different kinds of business ideas that we do have here, we sort of have concentrated our efforts on the important ones and the ones that we really want to get off the ground now.
And one of the real important aspects to that was, well, what can we get off the ground right now?
Right.
So, you know, even though we have 4 or 5 business concepts that are brewing around and will hopefully all come to fruition, but what can we do now? What makes sense to start now?
So, well, yeah.
What ties into that? How does someone decide which idea to implement?
Well, some of our ideas actually require better weather. So as we get into the winter, it kind of makes sense to focus on things that wouldn't be taking us outside or require us to grow something. I think the other would be time. You know, how much time do we have to commit to a particular endeavor while we're also trying to get our farm functional and working? And
right. So what's the name of our farm?
Sovereign Sunrise Perma Farm.
Okay. All right. So, yes, this is one of the later entities that we hope to, or we will yes. implement. I mean, because there's multiple reasons why, not only food for our own family,
but right.
there will certainly be surplus
right.
that we can generate an income stream. So that's important, but we're going into winter.
Yes, so, we're going into winter.
And we've only been able to put, you know, 6 trees and 6 bushes in the ground. And honestly, I want to put hundreds more in the ground eventually.
Right.
Along with running the animals and all those types of things. So what are we pursuing right now?
Well, this podcast.
This podcast. Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, just doing it. Doing it every day.
That's right. You mean I'm not perfect at doing this
right now? Almost, honey.
Yeah. No, I'm sure it's rough, but you know, the key, and this is another great piece of advice that I heard from someone, was you want to do something, you want to do something like a podcast, well then do it. There's your advice. Do it. Be consistent. You just got to do it.
Right.
And it ties into this whole idea of entrepreneurship. You got to step out and do it, and you never know where it may lead.
Right, exactly. And then the other one that we're pursuing is your property analysis and design, the resilient property analysis and design. And that's actually been something that has been really well received by everybody in this area. A lot of people are coming out here, getting land, but they're not sure where to start because they're like us, coming from the city, and they have no clue.
No clue, right. With maybe some head knowledge and not a whole lot of practical experience.
Well, right. And a lot of them don't even have the head knowledge.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
Haven't even done a lot of reading.
Yeah.
And so they get out and they're excited and they get on their land and they look around and go, oh, holy moly, what am I going to do?
this is hard. Where do I start?
I don't know where to start.
That's
and so
true.
That's where you come in.
Yeah.
And it's been really great. I've seen some really excited people as you've worked with them and talked with them about the possibilities on their land. And they finally feel like, there's hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a technique for entrepreneurship, you have an idea, a business concept that you want to bring into fruition, and that is providing that service, providing that product to a few select individuals for free.
Yeah.
Right? And what would be the advantages of doing that?
Well, you'd have a portfolio. You'd have some recommendations, some people saying, hey,
right.
and free word of mouth. That is a great advertising tool that you don't have to pay anything for.
That's right. Okay, yeah. I mean, we're not taking out ads on TV or newspapers.
No.
You know, none of those traditional types of marketing schemes. We're not using any of that stuff.
Right.
And so we're hoping to get it off the ground in other ways. And what they call bootstrapping. Bootstrapping is in entrepreneurship is simply doing things on the cheap, really, but being creative and doing it. So it's not low quality. It's high quality, but it's just alternative ways of doing things.
Right, which also brings us to another reason why we kind of chose the things we did in the beginning, was it's low investment right now. We don't have huge amounts of money to commit to starting businesses. And, you know, with a limited income stream, yeah, you can still successfully start businesses even without investment.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we have committed to running our businesses debt-free.
Yes.
How important is that?
Well, that's extremely important because you'll never see, it will take a long time for you to see any income, a long time for you to be able to profit or benefit from your many hours that you're putting in because you're handing that money back to somebody else.
That's right. Yeah. And there's other reasons why we want to live debt-free anyway. The borrower is slave to the lender, and isn't that true?
Yeah.
So now I'm not saying that if someone out there is implementing a particular business concept, if they want to, you know, borrow money, well, that's on you. That's just the one principle that we've decided to follow is to stay debt free.
Yeah.
And that has impacted the timeline and the sequence of the businesses that we're starting.
Correct.
Now we have another business idea, and it has to do with shooting. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Well, the Outlanders Frontier Academy.
Okay. Now, we can't really implement that right now because we don't have a range and the weather's getting ready to go cold on us and we're not quite ready.
Yeah.
But we're doing some work in that area, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that you're going to put one of our daughters and me through a 3-day training school.
Yeah, that's right. Defensive Pistol 101.
There we go. Defensive Pistol 101. I'm dreading it a little bit because my finger is not calloused up, but...
We'll work on it. We'll do a lot of dry fire and we'll keep it going in that area. So yes, the point here that we're trying to get across is that we have multiple ideas going on and we don't know where each one of these will go. We hope that they'll be successful. And that, you know, they could end up leading to something completely different that we don't even know about.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the other thing, one other thing I was going to say that has kind of affected the sequence of implementation of the businesses is how many people can we or who can we get involved in a project with us?
Very important.
Yeah. So that it's not weighing us down all day long.
Yeah. That is true. So, because everything we just talked about, we can't possibly run all of it.
Right.
Right. So, for example, with Outlanders Frontier Academy, we have partners.
Yes.
Right? And I'm not going to use their name because I don't have permission to do that right now. But once they get out here, that will be jointly managed, and so that will alleviate it from being all on our shoulders.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so it's helping us not have to carry that full burden and then on top of the other businesses we have going. And,
absolutely,
of course, children... You know, we have children.
That's good.
That we, and some of them are really perfect for particular ideas that we have. And so if they're interested.
They earn their keep.
If they're interested, it would be great for us to help get it started and then just sort of leave it to them to start to start growing.
This is what Joel Salatin calls fiefdoms. And what he means by that is that all these little entities will pop up, these little miniature enterprises that are maybe helped guided by the bigger enterprise, but they are individual enterprises. Yeah, so I think that was a really good start. You know, some of the big takeaways for me is that for entrepreneurship, it's a mindset.
Yep.
It's something that you always have to be looking for problems to solve, which is a great way to come up with business ideas.
Yep.
You look around and you start noticing and you're aware of problems and you provide solutions to those problems. Another great takeaway for me was to just start.
Yep.
Just go for it. Even no matter how small, and just do it because you don't know where it's going to lead. They will usually lead to other things that are happening. How about you? Any other ones besides? I know that you feel strongly about those two.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it really is the start. Start. Don't start. Get stopped up by saying, oh, I'm not qualified. Maybe this is going to fail. And what if it does? Does it really matter?
It doesn't matter. It's a learning experience.
Yeah. You learn no matter what you do. And if it does fail, move on to the next thing. Don't get discouraged. Just move on.
How do you feel about maybe some of the listeners? How important is it then to try and actually think of something on the side? I mean, have a small business.
Well, it's extremely important, especially...
No matter what they're doing, right?
Yes. Especially in our economy right now. The way things, even the government is going, all of those things almost require us to find multiple streams of income. If one thing goes away, you still have another.
That's right. This is like the ultimate preparedness.
Yes.
Multiple streams of income. You're always coming up with primary, secondary, and tertiary plans. It's good to have a side business at all times, something that interests you and maybe can generate a little bit of income.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
I think that's it.
That was great. Thank you very much for being on. And for those of you out there, we hope that you will go down this road of entrepreneurship, study it a little bit, start thinking of ways that you can develop a little side business. Maybe you do. And if you do, please let us know about it. We'd love to see you along the way and maybe provide an encouraging word or two. Thank you. Our verses for today come from Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. The application here is fearlessness before our enemies, fearlessness in a hostile culture. The gift of God is not only faith, but also suffering. That's the podcast for today. Don't forget to visit us at thecourageouslifepodcast.com. Please leave us some comments and questions. Also, like us on Facebook, The Courageous Life Podcast. Thanks for listening. Semper Fidelis and Soli Deo Gloria.